Don't worry, I'm not going to give you a long list of sponsorships and things that you need to buy. Instead, I'm just going to explain. What we do is we teach baking as lifestyle medicine. This is an evidence-based approach to baking, eating, and sharing bread that improves the gut microbiome and mental health. So let's just get straight into this podcast.
Option sheet at the time.
No, yeah, I think it's a newer classification. And I struggle with that in my book too. So I end up doing, you know, water one and water two. So I kind of break it out.
I haven't gone down to read and bake from it yet, which is funny because there's a couple of recipes I'm like, meh.
That looks good.
I usually don't. So it sounds awful, but I've got so many of my own in my head that I don't
exactly.
There's a couple of yours. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to try that one out.
So yeah. The way that I approached it is, I think a common way here in the U.S. that the Bread Bakers Guild does it, and they break it out into two line items in a formula. So a water one that you add at the beginning, water two that's essentially bassinage that's added later in mixing. And I find that's helpful because not only can you get a nice dough and you can work in more water into the dough slowly as it's being absorbed, but I think for beginning bakers, it gives them a chance to hopefully avoid overhydrating their dough by holding back that water. So that last bit of water, not only are there benefits to adding it in later, but it also kind of gives them a chance to avoid that, which is common, you know, avoid that overhydration.
In a bit where people make porridge instead of bread.
Yeah, I've done it many times. I've been there.
So what was my next? I had another question I was going to ask and I can't remember what it is now. It's gone out of my head. I'm laughing too much at the idea of the memories of people sort of pointing these bowls of slop at me and saying, what's
wrong with it? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I know what it was. Flour. You obviously, you know, on that your side of the pond. I can't picture maps. I failed geography at school. Except once when my mother bribed me £10. I went top of class for a whole week. won the best prize. She gave me the £10 and I was back at bottom of the class. That's the only time. But so now what I need to know is, how close are you to New Mexico? Is that near? That's not near Mexico, is it?
I'm pretty close. A lot of people mistake New Mexico for Mexico.
Is that because there's lots of Mexicans and kind of like... You know,
it's hombres. we're basically right north of Mexico. Okay, so it's getting loud again. If you drove down probably 3-4 hours, you'd reach Mexico.
Mexico City, is that not far?
It's farther because it's a little bit, you know, farther south, but the border between the United States and Mexico is probably 3-4 hours from where I'm at driving.
Oh, that's very cool. So do you have a local mill in New Mexico? Is that do you go to, you know, like we do here, do you toddle down to somewhere that's sort of in range, or is it, do you grow wheat in this particular state? Is it, or do you go to, I mean, everyone who is baking in the USA is going to be running off to the next mill that you say you bake from. So where do you recommend, you know, where do you get your flour from? Where do you recommend?
If you're in the Southwest, it's pretty dry here. So there's, you know, especially in New Mexico, most of New Mexico is very arid, very dry. It's kind of hard to grow wheat in this area. So there's not a lot being grown. There are some new kind of growers that are, they're opening operations in northern New Mexico and southern Colorado. So it's, you know, more green up there. It's a little bit higher elevation. They get more rain, of course. So there's a lot of wheat kind of being grown up there. There's some grown to the east and west of me. So the west in Arizona. So that's one of my kind of favorite millers is Hayden Flour Mills. They're kind of a family run growing and milling operation there. So they're great. And then on the east of me is Barton Springs in Texas. And they have a bunch of farmers that they work with kind of around Texas, which, you know, you can grow wheat there pretty easily in certain areas. And then to the north of me in Utah is where, you know, Central Milling and a lot of the larger kind of growers and millers operate. So while there's nothing right now in New Mexico, if you kind of go out just a little bit, a couple hours, then there's a lot more options. And then up as you keep going more north, there's even more as you kind of enter into the Midwest of the US and then kind of the Pacific Northwest area.
So there's one that I keep hearing come up, and it begins with a C. It's not Carrigan, no.
Karen Spring.
Yes, Karen Springs.
Yeah.
Is that a flower again that you've played around with?
Yeah, I work with them, you know, pretty frequently. Actually, their flower is great. I think they're a little bit farther from me geographically, so I have to, you know, ship it in. But I love their flower. I think it's some of the best performing and tasting flower that I've used, you know, recently. So I have about 100 pounds of flower from them right now in my pantry.
And then so for the US people who'll be watching this, obviously in the UK, I'd be recommending, I guess, either Shipton number 4 to hold your favorite loaf up, or the Rustico, or as your base. Or there's Marriages are good. They have a really nice white that holds up. They're the two that I know very well. And then I'd probably be working in the UK. We've got a lovely mill up north called Gilchester's.
And I've heard of them. Yeah.
It's almost like they shouldn't technically be able to grow wheat because it's basically so far north that it rains all the time. it's technically not. Northumberland is sort of not the kind, you know, maybe you'd expect to grow just rye. They're very lovely. Or potentially maybe, there's quite a few heritage grain growers now at Homidods. We're so lucky. We've got this incredible work with them. But I absolutely adore them. And they've got these incredible, they're really attracted the small artisan grain grower. And obviously they do my own botanical blend flower.
I love that. I love the kind of the small miller and small growers. I think it's kind of like the Barton Springs and the Hayden flour mills. And there's a lot on the East Coast of the US too. You know, they're farther from me, so I don't order as often. But I think the really cool thing there is you can get those specialty grains that they're, you know, doing a trial plant or, you know, that kind of thing. So you get these heritage, you know, wheats, and you get different kinds of spelt. You can get, I think we're kind of spoiled these days, because 10 years ago when I first started baking, and which wasn't really that long ago, it was hard to find flour, like really, you know, professional bakery level flour that you wouldn't find kind of in the supermarket.
So the flour, is there a flour section in here where you recommend the flours? So you've got resources, I'm looking here.
Yeah, I have it in the resources section, but I also have it in the beginning.
I'm going to go and ask you, because this is what my students, even from the US, are going to ask me. Which are your ones that you prop things up with? So I can never remember the next, Carrigan Springs one.
Karen Springs.
Karen Springs. So which flower is your kind of staple main white flour that holds everything up in there? Which one would you recommend?
I'd say the base white flour that I use most often is, at least right now, is from Central Milling. It's their Artisan Baker's Craft.
Yeah.
So that ABC, that one.
Yeah, and there's ABC, yeah, and there's AB, AB, there's ABC, and there's AB1. The plus. That's the.
The plus.
Yeah.
That's malted.
Yeah. So I worked with those two first in Tartine in 2016.
Yeah,
they were the ones that were being used, and then I think they swapped over to the cans. So they're the two that I know from there. What about the Cairns one? Is that
so from Cairn?
So you're talking to someone who's like, no, yeah. I wouldn't even know what to pick up. So which one would you pick up from there?
They have a lot of. Most of their flour is actually type 85. So I only use their type 85s or their whole grain flours. Their Trailblazer is a great bread flour. It's very strong flour. So you really need to push the hydration with that one, but that's a really good, if you're just looking for like a solid bread flour, like that's a great one. But then they also have other kind of softer, lower protein flours that I think are fun to work with too. They have one that's, it's called Skagit 1109, and it's Skagit. One that's...
I wanted to for the name.
I think it was a grain that was developed kind of in that area. It has a really interesting and kind of unique flavor, and I think that one's really fun to experiment with as well.
I really hope you've enjoyed listening to this. If the idea of prescribing baking as lifestyle medicine as an evidence-based approach to your patients to help them improve their physical and mental health through the bread that they bake, eat, and share every day appeals to you, then go to thesourdoughschool.com and learn how you can prescribe or teach this as part of your own practice. If you have just fallen in love with the whole concept and you just want to learn to do this for yourself and your family, you can self-prescribe at thesourdoughclub.com. I look forward to seeing you in some of our live sessions.